I hope you've had an opportunity to look at the display that Gail put together out in the entryway. We're focusing on the month of November on being sent and the people that we have sent. So that we had the Worshams here with us last week, and we'll have other testimonies the next following two Sundays. But so we're trying to focus November on how Jesus is calling us and sending us forth and the mission that he wants to do in and through us. This morning, I asked Robin Musser to come and share with you, not to tell you so much about K&O, but to try to share how God sent her in the beginning of K&O, with the idea that let's also think about being sent as very local, right? It might be sent to create something right here in our midst, as God has done through Robin and others with K&O ministry. But I want us to reflect on what does it mean to be sent? What does it look like for God to call us and send us? It's not always to India. It might be something very local and present. So, Robin, would you come and share, please?
I just saw Troy. I hadn't seen you in so long. It's good to see you. This is not my comfort, so bear with me. I love speaking in front of children. I could speak in front of 100 children. Adults terrify me. My heart's about to jump out of my throat, so bear with me. I wrote everything down, so I will do my best to remember my public speaking 101 class. The idea of being sent feels very funny to me as a way to describe me. I feel very underqualified and definitely not worthy to stand up here and talk about missions. I don't really feel like I'm doing anything special. However, after sharing with the Women's Bible Study about 2 weeks ago, I was encouraged to share God's story of working in me and through Kids Night Out. We, as a Bible study, have been reading the book Experiencing God, and it's been a wonderful journey deepening my relationship with Jesus. The book shares 7 key points about experiencing God. The key points describe how God is always at work around us, that he pursues a loving relationship with us. Through this relationship, he invites us to get involved with his work. He uses the Holy Spirit to speak to us through prayer, the Bible, circumstances, and the church. And once God speaks, there's always the choice of how to respond, which often results in major adjustments that need to be made. So what I'd like to do is share a little bit of how this played out in Kids Night Out. About 5 years ago, we as a church were talking about spiritual gifts and how to use them for God's glory. We'd all taken a spiritual gifts assessment, and we were talking about them in our small group. We were excited to serve as a small group team somewhere, and we looked for something that would be appropriate for families to serve together and use our spiritual gifts. Nothing panned out, and I began praying that God could use us somehow, somewhere. But I was still praying how I could do something great for God, not how God could do something great through me. At about the same time, Holly Crabtree, who was at the church attending Grace Hill at the same time as I, she had finished reading a book called Kisses from Katie, written and about Katie Davis. Katie Davis was a high school graduate, and she moved to Uganda to help the children and love on them there. Her story was and is an amazing one, and it stirred something in me to desire to do more. She says in her book, slowly but surely, I began to realize the truth. I had loved and admired and worshiped Jesus without doing what he said. This recognition didn't happen overnight. In fact, I believe it was happening in my heart long before I even knew it. I felt the same way. I was tired of just serving my own family and my own needs, kind of living in my own little bubble. I was tired of only serving those that came to church on a Sunday morning, and I was definitely seeking to do more of what Jesus had done to love on others. I noticed in Scripture that Jesus was very focused on healing, teaching, and relating to people through meals, conversation, and that he operated from a position of humble compassion and mercy towards the lost and the hurting. Way back when Mike and I were in Boston, we worked with a middle school youth group, and our theme verse was Micah 6:8. So that has resonated with me for our whole lives. And that is one where I really focused. It's one of my favorite verses. And it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Just before those verses, Israel is talking to God, asking him, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And I love how Micah responds simply, acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. It sounds simple, but it's challenging. About the same time the Holy Spirit was stirring things in my heart, there was a couple in our small group who talked about a ministry that they had developed in Minnesota, and it was called Kids Night Out. They had worked with area social workers to invite kids to come to dinner, watch a movie, and they sent them home with a bag of groceries. The emphasis was more on giving them parents a night off, kind of a night out. Holly and I prayed a lot. That seemed like an idea that maybe we could try. We felt this sense that God was calling us to try something. We had come to this turning point, and we felt strongly that we needed to respond to what God was doing in our hearts. We'd heard from another friend that the social worker at Cameron Park was a Christian, and so we decided to go into the school to Cameron Park. I had a couple kids there at that point, so I was familiar with her, and meet with her and share this idea. She wholeheartedly agreed that this would be a good thing, and she even had specific kids and families in mind that needed something to look forward to, something to get involved in that would get them out of the house and give their parents a break. She was praying for us and for the program, and it was a huge answer to prayer. We weren't quite sure what Kano was going to look like early on in the program. Each month as we met, we would tweak things or we would change things to make them easier and our time together more purposeful. We actually started by showing the kids a movie. It did not work at all. I even think the first movie we didn't preview and it had some swear words in it. And so we were just, it was horrible. But beyond that, the kids weren't interested. They just weren't interested. We noticed right away the kids and their parents, even, they were hungry for attention and hungry for interaction with others. They wanted relationships. They wanted to be known and to be loved and to matter to someone, kind of like how we all might feel. God was teaching us so much, so we went back to the social worker and asked her what she thought about changing up the routine a little bit and adding more devotionals and more Bible studies. I'm trying not to get emotional, and as you've all seen, I get emotional. But I vividly remember her saying, "You're feeding their bodies. Now you have to feed their souls." And it was such a it was a great form of encouragement. At the same time, we, of course, were meeting regularly with Ross, and he also has been a huge source of encouragement for Kids Night Out. And he had us read When Helping Hurts. For those of you who don't know, I even think there's still copies out on the table. It's a fabulous book about how sometimes when you're trying to help, it can actually hurt families more than it can help them. It completely blew my mind, and it brought me to, again, Romans 12:2, another verse that I love, where it says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." God was definitely renewing my mind through Scripture and helping me change the way I saw the ministry. Not as a way to rescue anyone, which is what my prideful self often thinks, but to use the ministry to develop relationships where we could all realize our need for rescue by and through Jesus Christ. As God continued to help me adjust my beliefs about poor people, I realized I still had a lot of preconceived notions about them. I wondered about their home life, where they lived, what their families were like, how they spent their free time. I wondered why they couldn't afford food, and most of all, why they couldn't afford food and that yet they all had cell phones. I just couldn't understand that. 1 month early on, God again moved, as he often does, just when I need him to. There were only 4 kids that showed up. And it turned out the other kids were still on a field trip that got back late in the evening. We found out that their families were still there waiting to pick them up. It just worked out that the kids who came left early, and we were sitting there with bags of groceries, and we didn't know what to do. A time where we hadn't yet gone to visit the family, so we didn't know where they lived. Well, we sat and prayed. It was Holly and I and one other volunteer, and we thought, what are we going to do? I ended up calling the families on the phone and asking if it would be okay to come to their homes to give them the groceries. And every family agreed that it would be a good idea, and they'd love it. And it was transformative. It was an incredible experience. We spent about another hour that night going to all the homes, delivering the groceries. The families were just like mine. Most of the families took pride in their homes. They loved to share and entertain. They needed some support from folks to walk alongside them, just like I do. God was continuing to show us the work he was doing around us, and it was really cool. I want to share two last things with you about how God was shaping Kids Night Out. Some of you have asked if we knew going into it that we were going to serve mostly a Spanish-speaking community, and we didn't. We had no idea. It was a possibility as we worked with a social worker. She had mentioned there were some families that only speak Spanish, and so we started praying right away. I remember very vividly and actually found an exchange with Ross about making an announcement after that first meeting. And we did. We made an announcement in the morning because we needed someone who spoke Spanish who could help us translate all the registration forms. And Lorene had been part of it. At Kids Night Out, she was curious and she had helped us, but we didn't know she spoke Spanish. And after we made the announcement and after church, she came directly up to us and told us that she spoke Spanish. It was a huge answer to prayer. And Lorene continues to be a huge blessing to Kids Night Out. Her wisdom and willingness to be used by God continues to inspire all of us. Her ministry with the moms at KNO is so amazing, and it all started with just one mom that she met with over the summer. And the tutoring program started with her just meeting with one little girl over the summer. So she has a great story to share as well. We searched high and low for families to serve. We made flyers. We went to other social workers at the middle schools. We went to OCIM. We met with the assistant superintendent of schools. Nothing panned out. It was God being very patient with us. We didn't have to try so hard. We were definitely working our own agenda at that point, and he was very patient. Word did spread, and as you may or may not know now, we have probably over 60 to 100 kids who attend. But it wasn't because of any flyer that we passed out. It was God's work and not ours. It was awesome, and it has been awesome. Finally, this last year in fourth and fifth grade, Kaylin and I co-teach that group for Kids Night Out. And we were reading Psalm 139. And in our discussion, it was like none we'd ever had before with the kids. We sit in a circle, actually, in the back of the sanctuary. And we all had Bibles, and we were just reading verse by verse by verse. And the Holy Spirit was showing me that these kids were so hungry for his truth. They had questions they'd never asked before. They were shocked that someone would choose to know them and love them and be with them always. It was a precious time being in his word together, and it was a wonderful reminder from God to keep pressing on and sharing his word. I would say that we did start Kids Night Out thinking it would be big and it would be impactful. It was our agenda to kind of feed the poor. God has been gracious and merciful, and he continues to redeem our sinful pride and open our eyes to the work that he's doing around us. He's also shown me over and over again that every life matters, that I don't need to revolutionize the world all at once, that he can use me to get excited over one smile, one stomach to feed, one mind to educate, and I don't have to do it all. I don't even have to do it. It's God working through me. These small steps of obedience that continue to lead me to turning points. It's terrifying. I always want to know the plan ahead of time. Most of you already know that. I like my list. I don't know it, though. I can't create it, and I think that's actually exactly where God wants me to be, totally relying on him for everything. So the last thing, each week I get a devotional in my email from Ann Voskamp, who wrote 1,000 Gifts. And I don't think it's an accident that the devotional that came this week was all about calling. So I just want to share the last little part. It says, Mary had said that to the servants at the wedding of Cana, before Jesus' first miracle, do whatever he tells you. We want clarity, and God gives a call. We want a roadmap, and God gives a relationship. We want answers, and God gives his hand. Why would God give a map when he wants to give you himself? We need the person of God more than we need the plan for our life. His voice is what you keep listening for, and the heart of faith is your ear pressed into his word. This is the way for you, not her way, not his way, not their way, but my way for you. Stay close enough to the word to hear your Father's voice. The point is, God singularly calls you, and a call from God is about relationship, and a call is something one keeps listening for. Come this way. Come to the land I will show you. And what he calls you to will look upside down, and it may not look like it makes any sense. I tell myself that every quaking morning. You're only living faith when you taste a little bit of fear in your mouth. It isn't really faith unless it tastes a bit like fear. Feel the fear and leap anyway. Your Father is infinitely bigger than your fears. Do whatever He tells you.
Let's respond to that. Thank you, Robin, for your faith in spite of some fear, I'm sure. But let's pray for Robin and for that sense that God does, the reality that God calls us. Father, we do want to be listening. And Lord, thank you for Robin's testimony that you call us, that you move us and through your word and circumstances, because you're in control and you are desiring to use us. You use us in spite of our brokenness and our false views of things. You are perfectly able to lead us and correct us and sustain us. Father, thank you that that Jesus called the disciples and then sent them out. Father, we would ask that you would tune our ears to hear your word to us, that we might understand how you're sending us out, whether it's in just a small step of spending more time listening to you, of asking you to speak, whether it's you giving us strength to respond to what you're already telling us. Father, would you call us? Would you equip us? Would you send us out? Use us for your glory. Lord, we do pray for Kids Night Out that you would continue to be the one that moves it forward in the direction you have planned, and that you would get great glory through it. We pray for the kids' interest and desire to hear your word would grow, and that you would transform their lives. We pray for the families that you would do a work of spiritual and physical, emotional, intellectual healing and development and growth in their lives. Lord, we pray that you would be pleased and that Jesus would be built up through this ministry. And we ask all this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.